don't turn the lights on here. We're going to do one more little thing here. Hang on a second. Okay, let's get the lights off again. What we're going to play here, some of you have seen this before. We're going to be talking about endurance. And so I'm going to play this real short little, our lessons on endurance. I'm going to play this short little video about endurance.
Hey, check it out.
How many of you ever felt like that?
We all have.
Never got to the finish line.
That's what today's all about, getting to the finish line, even if we're bloody runners like this guy was. One thing real quick, you know, the church, there's a lady at the church here that copies our Sunday school, or these lessons for this class, on Thursdays every week, so we'll have them on Sundays, but she was off this last, she was on vacation last week, so 2 weeks ago I had to send her a lesson, and I didn't really have time to customize it, so what I just copied a chapter out of our Grow or Die book, and so as we're going through that today, I just can't read everything in it, we're just going to cover the high points, and you take it home and study it if you like. But before we get into that, everybody have that little supplemental page? If you don't have one, then, okay, raise your hand. I want to welcome, I know it's going to embarrass them, Renee and Jillian Herrera. They've been longtime friends of ours. They've been longtime members of this class. They haven't been able to come because they work at a church on Sundays now. But it's so good to see you guys. They are Mount Perrin's mission to Cuba. And they actually print our books over there. So we're good friends with them, and we're just so glad to see them.
They are
family,
Jamal. Family.
Even though I speak Macedonian, they speak Spanish. But your mother speaks Macedonian. Endurance, running the race. In your supplement, everybody got the supplement now? Endurance is needed to take us to our purpose. You know, why are we here? We'll talk about, why are we living here for the Lord? Well, having endurance is a main ingredient in the recipe of why we're here. Without that, we can't really fulfill our God-given purpose. Our God-ordained purpose in life can only be transferred by Jesus to us through his word. When the word of God is planted in our hearts, as in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, we undergo great trials that require endurance. Let me kind of summarize it. Some people say, well, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Am I supposed to be going on missions? Am I supposed to be doing this? Am I supposed to be doing... Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're supposed to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. But the main purpose in life is to have a conversational relationship with God, to have him speak his word into your heart as a seed so that it will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Not just for your own life, but for the kingdom of God. We are here as kingdom bringers. We bring kingdom in. Now, in the supplemental page, Mark chapter 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's four different kinds of people that receive the word of God when God tries to speak to them. And if you notice, three out of the four don't make it. You see down there in Mark chapter 4:14, that look at the lines that are in bold. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Why? Because that's the only way Satan can lose part of his kingdom that he has on earth. He got the kingdom of this world into his hands that we've been studying a long time ago. Now, he doesn't want to lose it, okay? So when he sees one of us conversationally with God, and he sees God put a word in our heart, he's going to come and do everything he can. Right? Right? You know that, Rose. Number two, the second kind, and they have no root in themselves. They endure for only a time. Afterwards, when tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So there's a second type of person that God spoken to. I got it. Yeah, God said this. But then for all these things, okay. Verse 19. Here's the third kind, thorns. And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But look at verse 20. These are the ones sown on good ground who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. We are not able to endure just in ourselves, because to get through these first three things, it takes endurance. It takes, sometimes when God speaks in your heart, you know he's spoken to you. You know, I wish sometimes he would do it next week. But sometimes it's next year. Sometimes it's 20 years. And we have to endure. Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he endured. He endured. Okay. We're not able to endure just in ourselves. It must be Christ in us that endures. We don't have that kind of endurance in ourselves. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay. So now we have to look into Jesus to get his endurance. So how do we look into Jesus? Speak this until you believe it in your heart. This is what I do. When I need Christ in me to endure, and I don't feel like enduring, I feel like, oh, man. I just say, you know, I don't care, Satan, what you're trying to convince me of. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Say that, everybody. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Satan, you may be trying to tear the word out of Larry Chikorov's heart, which you could. But Larry Chikorov died a long time ago. Christ lives in me now.
Amen.
We got to get that truth, right, Rose?
Hey, huh? We know if we hear from the devil that it's a lie.
If we're trying to endure and we're trying to make it on our own, say, I want to endure for God. I'm just going to... Okay, that's a good start. But you got to understand, you can't do it.
We know he's
in. This guy, Gregory, at the bottom of the page, said, the words of God which you receive by your ear, hold fast in your hearts, for the word of God is the food of the soul. Turn over. Let me, rather than just read this, there's some scriptures on how... This, let me just kind of give you a summary of this from my own heart. There are times when people that I know really pour a lot of love on me. And man, does that ever make me feel good. It really, really makes me feel good when people that I know pour a lot of love on me. Sometimes I just want to weep. It feels so good. And I thought to myself, Lord, can I make you feel that way? If you could make me feel that way, and this person can make me feel that way, how can I make you feel that way? And I felt, he said, yeah, you can. Look at this. Look at some of these scriptures. In the back, page 2. Romans 12:1, Amplified. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational service, intelligence, and spiritual worship. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given us for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We can, our sacrifices, we walk in love for him, can give him that sweet-smelling aroma that'll just make him feel like I feel when I'm loved. Philippians 4:18, indeed I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you anymore. It means you're just not making him feel good anymore. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven, but don't we want to please God? Look at the bottom, Colossians 1:10, so that you may walk worthy, Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful, there's the fruitfulness, in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So it's about endurance for what God wants to do through you, because he's got to use you. He can't just bring the kingdom of God in by himself. He's got to use you to bring in a kingdom of God in your realm of influence through his word. And when that happens enough around the world, then he'll complete it. He'll bring the kingdom in.
Larry, may I say?
Yes, ma'am.
When you left Cuba and were living in that camp, I'll bet you had to have a lot of endurance, didn't you? Through those years and through that time before you came to the United States, you had to have it in your heart. You had to have a goal ahead of you that was your mission. And somehow, no matter what, you were going to make it here. And sometimes I think we have to understand that we're in a life out here that pulls at us in all different directions and tries to delay us from the goal. But in the scriptures it talks about, Paul says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God. God has called us to a high calling. He's called us to a mission. And many times I think every single day, we just have to refocus, don't we? Because there's so much of the daily cares around us that demand our attention. And I can't begin to imagine what you went through, Renee. My hat is off to you.
I'm still working on it.
Still working on it. Remember, there's work we have to do here. There's evangelism. There's missions. But what I'm talking about is, don't let Satan steal the word out of your heart. That's the most important thing. Okay, look at the lesson here. Who?
Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Larry, I'm looking at your supplement here, and I'm realizing, I guess things that I've never read when I read that passage, because even now, when God quickens a specific truth of the word to us,
yes,
Satan will come immediately and try to take that away from
Amen.
Us. Okay? Even now.
Amen.
And even now, when God presents something to us, he will bring up some type of test or tribulation,
yes,
to face us, even now.
Yes.
And we need to deal with that. And these things, I think you just mentioned, didn't you, Carol, the things of the world?
Yeah.
These things weigh upon us daily, even now.
Yes, they do.
Even now. So this isn't just to separate from us from those who respond to these things and let Satan rob them in this situation. It's still for us.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right. Hang on a minute. I'm looking for. Okay. There's a scripture I
wanted to. You don't have to turn there, and this is not in your lesson. But one thing that can get us off of endurance and getting our mind off of God is mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, right after the Beatitudes. when Jesus talks about all the things that we need in this world. And then in verse Matthew 6:32, you want to write this down, 6:32 and 33. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, these are people that don't know the Lord. These are, at that time, was people who don't have God in their life, okay? All the things that go on, they want this, they need this, they need, you know, we all need these things. We need a home, we need food, okay? But after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's not saying you don't need them. Everybody say but, B-U-T, but. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And if you look at the Amplified Bible and some of the versions, all the things that you need in life, I'm going to pick on somebody, I'm going to pick on Reggie. All the things that you need in life, Reggie, will come on you from you behind and overtake you without even trying. Everything you need, everything that if you didn't know God you'd be working for, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means sanctification, then everything you need in life will just overtake you. Did you want to say something?
The devil already has the people that don't believe in him. So he ain't after them. He's already got them. He's after you as a person that's giving your heart to the Lord. And he's attacking you all the time. So you got to tell him where to go and stay put.
Amen. Thank you, Rich.
Mary, may I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
I love what Joyce Myers has always taught. She said when you really meditate on that scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. She said, when you seek the Lord, I mean the things, whatever they are that you need, the provisions will chase you down. And the Lord will provide if you seek him first. There's a scripture that says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So when you really delight yourself in the Lord, God sees desires in your heart, you know, that are godly, but God sees desires in your heart that he will overtake you with that maybe you didn't even imagine, you didn't even think, and then you'll say, Lord, look what you've done. Look what the Lord has done.
But that's right, exactly. It surprises. But if you seek the things that the Gentiles seek for, you're not going to be able to endure because you're going to take up your time seeking and trying to provide for yourself. Yes, ma'am.
I was watching something, and it was about how it shouldn't be about the things. It should be about God.
Absolutely.
It shouldn't be about the things. It should be about God.
Because if you said do what you said, just said, you'll overtake it from the
end. Yeah, but it shouldn't even be about what the agenda of the things. It should be about God.
And because he knows what you need.
That's right, Elizabeth. I'm with you 100%. Yes, ma'am.
I was reading something the other day, and it says, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he puts his desires for us in our heart.
That's right.
That's it.
And then he provides the fulfillment of them.
That's right. You got it.
Okay, let's see if we can. In this lesson, I want to talk about Esau a little bit. What's that? I'm not sure yet. Let me see. This, I can't do the whole lesson because this is a chapter in a book.
I've always noticed, you know, in the morning,
yeah,
it says, seek ye first him. And if I get up and get busy, I don't seek him first. Today, I don't have near as much time.
That's right.
But if I seek him first just a little while, then he seems to multiply the rest of my time.
Oh, yes, Rose. Yes. He's a great multiplier.
He is.
Now we need to be aware that even Satan overtakes us from behind.
That's right.
Just like the enemy tried to do this with the nation of Israel.
Yes.
So we have to keep up a rear guard and recognize that.
Oh, yes.
Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 in the middle of page 1 there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight.
We don't have that on our page 1.
running the race? More about endurance? You don't have it there? No, we're talking about running the race endurance. Reggie, where's the lessons I handed to you? Is that it? The lady didn't copy that. She made a cut. Two, hang on a minute. Rather than copy, make two lessons, she made one lesson copied twice. Well, this was last week. But the lesson you have with you was from, we did this last week. What is this world coming to? So just put it on the floor.
That woman you gave me.
Rose says that it's that woman you gave me. But you understand, I had to do this 2 weeks ago. I said, print 40 of these and 40 of these, and she did 80 of those.
She's usually very, very efficient. Mm-hmm. So we give her, we don't say anything, so she's a perfectionist. She would be humiliated, I think.
Can you follow the outline? Can you utilize this? Instead of needing a
whole
new printed one?
Something different. No, we're not doing that outline whatsoever. Oh, I've got the lesson up in front of me.
I know, but for everyone else to follow.
You'll have to follow me talking.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
That's good.
Well,
that's good.
That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good.
Okay, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, since we're surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, lay aside every weight of the sin which so easily ensnares us. Just listen to me. Pastor Mark didn't pass out lessons, so just listen.
I know.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And then it says in Hebrews 12:15-17, it talks about Esau, who was, whose brother, Carol? Esau and Jacob. Remember, Esau was supposed to be the firstborn, but it was switched around, wasn't it, Carol? Firstborn is supposed to inherit things, but Esau messed up. And it says in Hebrews 12, it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, everybody say bitterness, springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place for repentance. What happened was this. Esau came to Jacob and he said, give me some of that soup. He said, I'm hungry. And he said, made a deal with Jacob. He said, listen, if you give me some of that soup, I'll give you the inheritance. He didn't care about the eternal reward. Actually, he asked for some meat, soup with meat in it, and Jacob gave him some soup with vegetables, and he didn't get what he wanted. Okay? But he sold his birthright for something now. He wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God. He was seeking his own welfare. He was seeking his own stuff. And it caused in him a root of bitterness.
Larry, do you think that that's what some people do when they make a decision that they want to have fun and they want to live however they want to live and they don't want to love the Lord?
If we're not careful, we can be guilty of saying to God, I'm tired of this suffering. Tired of waiting. I just can't take the pressure any longer. This faith stuff does not work. just give up like Esau and taking one morsel of food, but fed his selfish nature. In Genesis 25, it says, Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I'm weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? I don't care about it. And Jacob gave Esau bread and a stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and went his way, and Esau despised his birthright. Now, what's our birthright? To bring in some of the kingdom of God, right? And if we don't endure, we're going to be like Esau. Listening to God speak, having knowing that the word's been planted in your heart, and knowing that that's going to bear fruit.
Having faith.
That's right.
Faith brings fruit.
I'm going to turn my Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to go there, that's fine. Sorry for the mistake in the lesson. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 12.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I've heard people say that the way America is acting now, it's like we're despising our birthright because we're rewriting history. You know, how our nation was founded and everything, and with the, you know, gay marriage and all that. But I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Hebrews 12:12. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food gave up his birthright. Looking... For you know that afterward he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no way for repentance. No place for he couldn't repent. Though he sought for it diligently. Okay, let me turn to...
When you do something wrong, you don't ever think about what you're doing right. You always look back and look at that mistake, and it keeps going over and over.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's what he did, I'm sure.
Verse 12, it says, strengthen the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet. So what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. And I say as a comment to my lesson, as we run the race, there are times when it feels our spiritual knees and hands are feeble and tottering, like the video we saw. We feel like giving up, like the video, like the guy didn't give up. Our job is to make firm, plain, and smooth paths for our feet so that our spiritual limbs do not become disjointed, but rather healed. Then it is that you secure God's grace. Yeah, let me come over there with you. Hang on a minute.
You know, in the United States, we have so much and so much freedom, and we're so blessed that we don't always quite understand what our brothers and sisters are going through in the world. But in China, and Renee met Joseph, there is a precious brother there, a friend of Tom Yang's. His name is Joseph. Joseph was a lawyer. Joseph was a judge. Because of his faith in Jesus, he was put in jail, and he was tormented, and he was persecuted to the point that he almost gave up. But before he gave up, I mean, he was ready to give up. But before he gave up, he saw a vision of heaven. And the saints were praying for him. And the angels were up there. And there was a spirit of intercession for him to have the strength to go on. And he managed to get through that. He's a wonderful brother of the Lord, isn't he, Renee? Joseph is precious. But you know, we don't really realize here what people in Cuba, in China, in parts of Africa, in Haiti, and other places, what they go through. We just don't have an idea. We've got it so easy here. But even with the easiness of how we have it here, there's enough bombardment of the world with all kinds of things to get us sidetracked. And we have to keep our focus, don't we?
Amen.
We had a one of Carol's nieces and her husband visit us this week, and he spent the night last night. He's a CPA for us. And he was reading to me this morning some of the Beatitudes. In the last Beatitude, I'm not going to turn there, in Matthew chapter 5, I think it is. Blessed are they who are persecuted. And then he said, blessed are they who do something else to you. He said, it's the only Beatitude where there's a double blessing. So I think that we will probably in our time see persecution that we've probably never seen before. That's just my take. That's just my take. Be ready. Be ready if people revile you. Be ready if people call you a freak. Be ready if people call you a Jesus freak. Don't argue with them. Just love them.
Help us, Lord.
Just a few minutes ago, Carol asked you what is bringing in the kingdom of God. And you said, listen. That was your immediate response.
Listening and letting the word be, listening to God plant a seed in your mind.
And this lesson is a confirmation of what God has dealt with me this week on. And specifically about the root of bitterness.
Really?
And the root of bitterness in me has been because of my expectations of God fulfilling his promises.
Wow.
When I expected him to do that. And part of that is my efforts to bring in the kingdom of God by sharing the gospel with so many people. But the bottom line is, the kingdom of God has to come into me first.
That's it.
And God is pointing that out to me, that I have this root of bitterness. And it's bad. I'm in the process of, I guess you'd call it the process of that type of repentance right now.
That's our next subject.
Thank you for introducing it.
We all, if we're honest, we have expectations that don't get met. And sometimes we have to overcome the feelings of discouragement, don't we? Let's be honest. We're all human.
I wrote here in this lesson that you don't have. God is attempting to get us onto the path that he can bless. We might need to make some course corrections. You just introduced it perfectly. That will keep us out of ruts, away from the rocks that keep us on a smooth path. We may need some character changes. It may be forgiveness, giving, getting honest, even with the government, regarding some obligation, paying a back bill or debt, giving up a certain idol, changing our direction and our social vocation paths, etc. Okay? So how do we make smooth paths spiritually and secure God's grace? It's certainly not through only human efforts. Gets back to again. So how do we make those? When you stay in touch with God and you spend time with him and his word, he will convict you. Like you said, he just did. And not condemn you, but convict you. When he convicts you, say, you know, it can be a mild conviction. I like mild convictions better. Don't you? I remember one time we were teaching eighth graders at Mount Perrin Central, and I made some statement to the eighth graders, and I came home, and the Lord really shouted at me, why did you say that? That's not true. I mean, I really got spanked. It didn't feel good. So after that time, I said, Lord, just, you know, go easy with me. I've got written down here some of the reasons why people give up have to do with too much trouble or too much pleasure. I know a man who gave up. He did not totally give up on God, so he thought, but he did not believe that this faith thing really worked. Tribulation and persecution took place, and the seed was taken by Satan, as in Mark 4:17, which says they have no root in themselves. The result was he became very spiritually cold. He was distant from God and the things of God, including the church. He ended up marrying a person that further limited his spiritual walk with God. Years later, he went through an amazing turnaround in repentance, and this precious person will go to heaven. But his life here on earth is limited. Example number two, love for pleasures and things of this world. Another couple that I knew about, a married couple, they had a start with the Lord and tempted the surfing, but the things of the world, the pleasures of money, gave them too much satisfaction. They even attended a Pentecostal church, but I saw them denying the work of the Holy Spirit. They rebelled, committed treachery against some dedicated people of God, and they really backslid. I lost touch with them, but I have to assume they're not doing well. The other example, a fruit of bitterness. I know a group of 12 to 15 people who destroyed a church here in Georgia, North Georgia, by their ungodly attitudes and actions. When a precious pastor was called in by the denomination to close the church, it began to grow. Interesting, huh? This enraged this group of people who obviously were filled with bitterness. They were members of the church. They began to attempt to destroy, and I know somebody that was in the church personally. He told me the story, and you know who I'm talking about. They began to attempt to destroy the church again by getting up on the stage and singing, uninvited. They would stand in the aisles and pretend to speak prophecies, interrupting the pastor. Finally, the church had to evict them, actually contacting the court and the sheriff. Sometime back in their history, they quit the race like Esau did. They ate their bowl of soup and became bitter. Okay, now, we have to run the race, but Jesus said if you run the race, there's a prize. There's a reward. And I think some of the prizes and some of the rewards are, they could be here on earth, but I think the more important ones are eternal rewards. And I don't know, Dr. Paul Walker always talked about rewards in heaven, but he never would explain them, and I can't explain them either. But there's enough in the Bible that says there are rewards in heaven. I don't want to miss them. I mean, why? If we can take up our cross here and forget about ourselves and serve people and love the unlovable and stay close to Jesus no matter what, we'll get some kind of reward that will never pass away. Don't ask me to explain what that means, but that's what it says.
We're being trained to rule and reign with him for eternity. Now, something about that casts a vision
that's beyond what we can see here, isn't it?
And the training that we're being trained and the stuff we go through and the trials we go through and us overcoming them, we're being trained for eternity. And we might like to look at this life and think we've got a long life to live. Anybody that's lived very long knows it's very short. But we have eternity to look forward to.
I can understand the things of this world bothering us and praying, God, deliver us. This child of mine or this job of mine or so and so. But when we're feeling that way, get your mind for a while off of that onto eternal things. Get them onto eternal things. What's important, God? What's important right now? Right? And then he'll take care of the things of this world.
Larry, I think about what we do down here is all we're going to have when we get to heaven to brag about. If we haven't done anything good.
What that guy say, Carol? That's all the lumber you sent up here?
Larry's friend, Bill. You guys remember Bill?
Yeah.
He had a friend that he was trying to promote some singers up in Nashville.
And Bill brought us this tape. And it was this guy singing about heaven. And he was saying that this one man got up to heaven. And when he got up to heaven, he had a little tiny place to live. And somebody had a mansion to live in. And the Lord said, well, that's all the lumber you sent up here.
That's all the lumber.
Give much to work off.
the humor of that.
Hebrews, let's talk about the prize. As the writer of Hebrews said, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning, yes, the things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, running the race for the crown." 1 Corinthians 9.25, I might want to make a note of this. 1 Corinthians 9.25 says, "And everyone who completes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown." It says very similar in the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3, "Because you have kept my commands to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole earth to those who test them, those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Church of Philadelphia, crown. Overcoming has to do with receiving a crown, the authority. Crown is authority. Crown represents authority and royalty. When we finish the race, we receive spiritual authority here on this earth. Every time we finish a race, every time we overcome something, we receive more spiritual authority. Finishing the race is another way of saying overcoming. Through this time of endurance, God has defeated a spiritual stronghold or a curse in our realm of influence. It may be a generational curse that our children do not have to endure. It may be a curse for a people group who will not set free, who will be set free to hear the kingdom of God with open ears. It brings the kingdom of God in, that authority. We have to understand this potential crown has to do with more than God's kingdom, has to do more with God's kingdom than our own well-being and good feelings. The potential benefits are weighty in God's mind and kingdom and should give us a heavy sense of responsibility to finish this race no matter how we feel. As the sister in the Lord said to us recently, the benefits are exponential, and the as are the consequences of giving up. So, what are some things we can do? How do we finish the race? We need the Holy Spirit. We need God's character and power to overcome spiritual enemies. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The Strong Concordance defines the Comforter's Greek word, parakletos, summoned, called to one side, called to one's aid, who pleads with another, caused before a judge, a pleader, a counselor of defense, a legal assistant, an advocate, one who pleads for another, an intercessor. Now, it also means in ancient Greek marathons, listen to this, like that guy was running a marathon there. The Paracletus was the friend of the runner, who began running next to the runner during the final few miles as an encourager. So here he sees the guy wearing out, and the Paracletus would come beside him like this and start running with him. Come on. Come on. He would verbally encourage him as well as have the runner synchronize with his running steps, taking his mind off the extreme pain that the runner was in. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us during our race as an intercessor, a comforter, encourager, and even as a lawyer. But we have to welcome the Holy Spirit. I know people that have limited the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to go into that too much, but just be open. So, Lord, show me if I've got any closed doors for the Holy Spirit. Show me. If there's something I need to repent for, somebody, if there's some change in my mind I need to make, I want this encourager to run inside of me. I want some rewards for the kingdom in heaven. Also, we have to remember the cross. We have to remember the Holy Spirit. We have to remember the cross. The blood of sprinkling of the new covenant reminds us that we have been crucified with Christ, he lives through us. Through the cross and the Holy Spirit, we can shed the weights, repent from the sins, put away the flesh nature and finish the race. However, it will require constant intimacy with God. It will require constant repentance from sin and the flesh nature. It will require standing against the devil with the word in our lips. Circumstances in the satanic world will also try to discourage you and convince you to quit enduring. Remember this, with God, if you don't quit, you'll win. If you don't quit, you'll win. Now, I've got two quotes here. I'll finish up with two quotes I've got. One is from a devotion. I don't know. Has anybody ever used God Calling? It's a devotion. It is a, in a race, it is not the start that hurts, not even the pace of long stretch. It is when the goal is in sight that the heart and nerves and courage and muscles are strained almost beyond human endurance, almost to the breaking point. So with you, now your goal is in sight. You need your final cry to me. Can you see by the nerve and heart rack of the past few days that your race is nearly run? Courage, courage. Hear my voice of encouragement, says the Lord. Remember that I am by your side, spurring you on to victory. In the annals of heaven, the saddest records are those who tell of the many who run well with brave, stout hearts until in sight of the goal of victory. I'm sure glad I played that video of that guy. And then their courage failed. The whole host of heaven longed to cry out how near the end was, to implore the last spurt. They fell out, never to know the last day of revealing how near they were to victory. Would that they had listened to me in the silence as you two meet with me, they would have known. There must be a listening ear. Now, I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember a lady named Florence Chadwick. I remember watching I Am, a television in 1952, and witnessing the famous swimmer, Florence Chadwick, attempting a record-breaking swim across the Catalina Channel in Southern California. Catalina was an island that was about 20 miles offshore. And she was going to be the first person to swim it. Here's what Wikipedia said about Florence. In 1952, Florence was the first woman to attempt to swim the 26 miles between Catalina Island and the California coastline. As she began this historical journey, she was flanked by small boats that watched for sharks and were prepared to help her if she got hurt or grew tired. Hour after hour, Florence swam. But after about 15 hours, a thick, heavy fog set in. Florence began to doubt. Say doubt.
Doubt.
Her ability. And she told her mother, who was in one of the boats next to her, that she didn't think she could make it. She swam for one more hour before asking to be pulled out. As she sat in the boat, Florence found that she had stopped running, stopped swimming, just 1 mile away from the California shoreline. Her destination. Florence explained that she'd quit because she could no longer see the coastline. That was too much fog. She couldn't see her goal. But 2 months later, Florence got back in the water to try to task one more time. This time was different. She swam the Catalina Island to the shore of California in a straight path for 26 miles. The same thick fog set in, but Florence made it because she said that while she swam, she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind. Does that relate to us? Huh? Is this a God thing? How do you keep a mental image of the finish line with God? The Word, fellowshipping with Him, spending time with Him, meditate on Him. She did not lose her sight of the shore because she focused on that image of the coast in her mind, and in this way, she reached her goal. Banjo, do you feel like praying?
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Father, we thank you that you've used Larry to speak to us today, Lord. Father, we thank you and we pray that your word will be used in our lives all this week, Lord. Father, we acknowledge you as the chain breaker, Lord, that you'll break all the chains in our lives in all shapes or forms, Lord, that we'll be free to do your will. Father, we pray as we go to your house of worship right now that you'll prepare our hearts to receive more from you. And we'll go ahead and do your will. That we'll put our own agenda aside and be able to focus on you. And we pray all this for your glory, your honor, and your praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's good to see all of you. Any last minute comments before I hang this up?
Larry, let me just say one thing real quick.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about the Holy Spirit being the paraclete and walking beside us, He's the greatest friend in the world. But you have to have that friendship with Him through something very simple, and it's faith. And in order to have faith, the Word says that you have to be meditating on the Word. You have to be thinking about the Lord. And that builds, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. To have that kind of friendship, and that's what Larry's trying to say this morning. If you have that kind of friendship,
You can make the race. You can do whatever you got to do in your own personal lives. You know, I was thinking this morning about friendship. And the ladies sit up here, and some of you guys don't realize the precious conversations that are going on up here. Lisa is a nurse at Kennestone, and she has taken care of Charlene, and she's helped Judy at Kennestone. Well, you know, in that kind of vulnerable position where they're having surgeries and needing treatment, to have a nurse come alongside them and comfort them and encourage
them.
Big
deal.
It's a huge deal. And I heard these girls talking about that this morning, about Lisa, how good it was to have somebody they knew. Well, the Lord wants to be that kind of friend with
us. Amen.
It's our choice. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on us. You know, we can look at garbage, and or we can decide, listen, I'm going to take that time to meditate on the Word of God. And Rose was saying this morning that when you do that in the morning, your day is multiplied. The grace is there. When I was teaching eighth graders, we had this weekend to teach some curriculum about discipleship years ago. Those girls came to our house, and the material that I had was such wonderful material in the Word of God. And the idea was, if you get in the Word every morning, you have the power, and you have the guidance, and you have the direction to go where you've got to go. If you're going to California, do you look at the map when you get to Los Angeles? Or do you take up that map and try to study it before you get that car in the road?
Amen.
Now, before we put our car, our life, in the road, let's pick up something that can speak to us, that can give us direction. God will speak in that word. He'll send you an email. It will be so perfect to what you need that day. Get into praise music. Take some time for Him. The faith will grow. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, you'll have a testimony. A test produces a testimony. When Jack overcame alcoholism, Rose, couldn't you and Jack speak to people about overcoming that? There was a heavy anointing because you'd been there. You hear these Vietnam soldiers, you know, our soldiers that have been in Vietnam. They came back and there was a bond between them. When somebody has been through something, they've got something to say. They've got a testimony. And in that testimony, it will build your faith, won't it? Don't we love to hear testimonies of people who've overcome things? It builds our faith.
Amen.
And we have a choice. We can plug into that, or we can say, I'm too busy. It's up to us, isn't it, Rose?
Yes, and when he overcame vocal cord cancer, you know, 6 months, and he had, you know, the alcohol, and he said the alcohol numbed your throat, and when you smoked, it caused an irritation on the vocal cord, which caused this cancer to grow. And so he, 22 years, he's been free of vocal cord cancer.
Praise God.
And then after he had that, he had asthmatic bronchitis. And so we went to the doctor, and he said, oh, you'll never be able to walk more than 2 blocks. So we were struggling out at Stone Mountain. We had gone out there to that little festival. And he couldn't get up the hill, and he was holding on to the bus stop pole. And he said, I'm not putting up with this. He said, Lamentations 3:56 said, hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry.
Praise God.
And he came out of that and went back to the doctor. He said, your lungs are clear. I don't know what you've done.
Hallelujah.
It's the word.
Thank you, guys.